Okay, well, we're going to get on. We're going to stop that business there with George Gordon talking about the Mark of the Beast. Yeah, kind of a lot of old technologies talking about their old stuff, but still valid. We're going to get on with Straightway Truth. And we're going to have a round table discussion, preaching, good old time here pretty quick. And this will be the program for December 10th, 2006. And we already have a couple brothers on the line. Brother Dal will be joining us soon, I hear. And I'm going to bring up Brother Becker. Brother Becker, are you there?
Yes, sir. Bless you.
All right. We're on with you. And then I got a Brother Rich here on the other line. How about you, Brother Rich? Are you there?
Praise the Lord, Brother Pilgrim.
Oh, I got you. Okay. All right. Well, we're doing good. We got you both here. I'm here. We got one more line. I don't know if Brother Dal's going to use that or what. But anyway, what's going on, brothers?
Oh, not too much in all this program. It's the first day of the working week, you know. The world calls it Sunday, but we know it's the first day of the week, and we've just been busy on the land and just putting our hand to the plow and getting things done and taken care of.
I heard it's been getting hot around there in your area there.
Oh, off and on. It's been a lot cooler now, but yeah, they've been messing with this weather too, haven't they?
I mean, hot spiritually.
Oh yeah, yes sir.
Things are kind of hopping down there, aren't they?
Amen.
It's always nice to know you're being noted.
I think it's really indicative that you folks are moving into something there, because you know, when you get the community around you a little bit upset at you because you're telling the truth. I mean, if it's for the cause of Jesus Christ and telling the truth, then that means good things are coming.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And it's anytime you're starting to hit the devil, he's not going to lay down. Just take it, you know.
That's right.
He knows he's got but a short time.
Absolutely. But
yeah, amen.
When you move in, see, he's had territory for so long, you know, in all over the world in different areas. And when God puts his people in action and they start taking back from the devil what is rightfully God's.
Amen.
Yes,
then that's when things start getting a little hot. And you see what you got. You got a problem of spiritual forces in high places starting to get upset, because just like in God's rank and order, the devil has rank and order also.
Sure.
And so what happens is that there's heads on the line here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some axing of heads by the devil for allowing God's truth to be told.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And they don't like that. They don't like the fact that they're going to be in trouble.
No, they should have picked the right side.
That's right.
Amen,
brother.
You know, it's truly amazing right here. If I could just give you a little backdrop on the kind of things that goes on. This county is, like, you know, you probably already know, it's inundated, like everywhere else in this country. It's inundated with Freemasons.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere that I know of.
We've got two witchcraft cults, pagan witchcraft cults, that are probably living all within 10-mile range in two directions of us.
And
you know, the amazing thing is you know, we got a little letter written about us about concerned citizens last week.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. And, you know, in the same paper, you know, the same, and they basically just, you know, trying to impugn the character of a sister whose character is impeccable. But the devil will try to do anything he can, and, you know, and he always uses fear.
Right.
And
that's,
you know,
right, brother.
He says that people all their lives were subject to bondage through fear.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the most powerful spirits. I mean, it don't matter what you do in life trying to serve God. If anything goes wrong, the first thing that shows up is fear.
Yep.
You know, and he's always there to make a big impression. He doesn't come in and say, hey, you know, guess what, I'm here. He comes blasting in, you know. And but this, you know, this same newspaper here wrote an article a couple of years ago called Who Are the Moon Worshippers of Macon County? Okay. And now, in the course of this article, they interviewed one man who was willing to freely discuss anything, except they never did discuss their rituals or what they really do under the oak trees at night at certain phases of the moon. Of course, they can't, you know, openly discuss that in a county that's that has a Church of Christ and Missionary Baptist stronghold. What they did was they had also had a woman who was did not wish to be identified in the article, and they just basically gave them glowing reviews, and there wasn't any outcry, any fear, or any suspicion that, you know, maybe these moon worshipers, this woman, you know, who could she be? Could she be in charge of the daycare center here in town? Could she be the sheriff's wife? Could she be a missionary Baptist preacher's wife? You know, but there was never this outcry. And the reason there wasn't any outcry is because the world really loves its own.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
It sure does. And what's amazing, too, is the other local paper here in this town, the competitor, they list 75, what they would call established churches, in one page of their front page, or in their front section. And what amazes me is the density and the reception there's allowed to be these people that call themselves. Now, mind you, they call themselves Christian. They'll raise their hand and tell you willingly, yeah, I'm a Christian, but how Satan can just move in and bring these secret organizations, like we heard, the Masons are just wild here. They're just filling the Missionary Baptist Church here, and just allowed to continue prospering when the voice of truth rises up, and they can't see that look, you know, these people have got to be telling the truth. There's something got to be different, because they're the only one getting persecuted. And when Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men shall persecute and revile against you," you know, it is amazing. It really is an amazing thing. Yes, sir.
I suppose I don't have to tell you brothers, but you know, it's really impossible to be a Christian and to be a Mason at the same time.
Yes, sir.
You cannot serve two masters.
No, you cannot.
And it is clear. It is clear, and this is absolutely provable to anybody who wants to know, that Masonry does not serve the God of the Bible.
No, sir.
It serves the God of this world.
That's the truth.
And they perform allegiances even upon the first degree of Masonry. If even upon the apprentice degree, there are allegiances given to things that even though they don't understand it's Satan, they're performing allegiances to that other than God.
Mm-hmm.
So for a Christian to innocently slip into Masonry and say, "Well, I was fooled," is baloney.
Yeah.
Because God says, "Take no vows."
Hey, yeah.
It's in His Word, and they've already taken vows to something they don't even know what they're doing.
Sure.
They've already disobeyed God.
Yes.
And so, you know, later on, then they get a clue that, you know, hey, this isn't the God of the Bible, you know. But when they're laying down in coffins and being raised from the dead as such, out of coffins, and these occultic ceremonies, and they think and they think that this is the God of the Bible,
yes,
that's
sir.
Baloney. You know, these people know. So there is no innocent Christians in Masonry. I don't believe it's a case. So there's only one thing that's a possibility here, and that's that these missionary Baptist preachers you're talking about, who are 32nd degree Masons, who are in Masonry, are there for one reason, and that's to subvert the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's the only reason they're there. They are not to preach the truth.
Amen. Well, they themselves are subverted, so they're just going
yes.
to reproduce after their kind.
Yes, but they are actively. I mean,
yes.
I believe they're willingly. It's not an innocent thing.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
We know of a person who went to the first degree, and he sensed that something was wrong. with it, with the whole thing, something evil, you know. And he never went beyond that, from what I understand.
Well, God got a grip on his heart, apparently.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, you basically have to, I mean, I don't know how you can be saved and walk into a Masonic initiation and, you know, and they ask you why you're there and you're saying you're lost, you're in darkness, and you need greater light. If you got the greatest light in you, which is Jesus Christ, the light of this world that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, then where do you need to seek any further light than that? I mean, that's just basically denying your faith and blaspheming the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely, brother. Yeah,
yes, sir.
Couldn't be any better said than that.
Yes, sir.
Albert Pike also, he said in his writings that Lucifer is the god of Freemasonry, and he was recognized leader of Freemasonry up until, I guess he was around the Johnson era.
Yeah.
So, there's no doubt as to who the god of Freemasonry is.
Yeah, so you have quite a thing going there. So you have, basically Masonry is Satanism. I mean, it just boils down to that.
It's organized witchcraft.
Yeah, and so you've got these Satanists running the churches over there is what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you really want to get down to the truth, this is what it goes to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, I mean, you can, people can dance around all they want, but that's what it really is, and that's how God sees it.
That's so true. And see the, what a lot of folk don't know, you've heard this phrase, there's more than one way to God. Have you ever heard anybody say that?
Sure.
Sure. And the where that phrase comes from is Freemasonry. That phrase comes from Freemasonry because there are two ways in which you can get to direct communion with the great architect of the universe and all of this baloney, and that is you can go the secular way or you can go the more religious or superstitious way. And that is why you see this common theme of obelisks, shafts of Baal, either being on the top of churches or on the top of courthouses.
Yeah, you bet.
There's more than one way to God. Yeah. And you can get the same degrees no matter which way you go.
And
you're just approaching it at a different way.
And the Mormon Church has the biggest obelisks of all.
Sure. Joseph Smith was a practicing Freemason.
Oh, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, when he was so-called martyred, uh-huh, while he was shooting his way out of jail, killing no less than three people.
Yes.
While he was being martyred, of course.
Right.
He was in jail because he burned a newspaper to the ground because they printed defamatory statements about him.
Yep.
Because the man had a rival in the Illinois Masonry structure there, and he was basically trying to take over the whole state.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And so some defamatory things were printed about him in a newspaper. So in retaliation, he burned a newspaper to the ground. Him and his brother Hiram were jailed.
Uh huh.
But
you have Masonry and Mormonism are just hand in hand.
Sure.
And for those who have spilled the beans on what the Mormon temples are like. There's
That's
a
right.
lot of Masonry symbols and things inside those temples.
Yeah, well, many of the rituals are Masonic.
Are Masonic, yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe, I read a book one time, I think it was by Ed Decker and Dave Hunt, and I think they talked into great length about Freemasonry.
Yeah,
I can't remember the title of it, but...
Yes, sir.
So there's your stranglehold over your area right there. That's your stronghold that needs to be torn down. The power of that thing.
Amen.
It's like you said. It's all the way through this country. I don't care where I've been. I've been all over this country, and that same stronghold is everywhere.
Yes, sir.
It's think about it. The United States government was founded by Masons.
Yes, it was.
The Constitution was written by Masons.
Yes, sir.
Everything that we have, that we know, that we were taught to honor in this country, were founded by Masons, practically. And we were taught as children to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, which was Masonic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So we were as youth, as in public school, going through Masonic ceremonies by every day by pledging allegiance to that flag.
Yeah, that's right.
You see what a stronghold that is?
Yes, it is.
And that has to be torn down.
Well, yeah, and it's everywhere, too. Yeah. I mean, it's just like you said, it's not in Washington, D.C. It's not just at the dog pound here in Tennessee. It's everywhere. Our whole college setup, where you get your associates, which is equivalent to apprentice, and bachelor's, and master's, and doctorate, and you see these degrees. They keep going on. You go in, I worked for General Motors for 17, 18 years, and even there in the skilled trades, I mean, you're basically being initiated into a Masonic-like structure.
Right.
You're an apprentice, you're a journeyman,
right,
a traveling man, and then you're a master, you know?
You're right.
Yes, sir.
I hold a master electrician certificate from the state.
Oh.
I say, well, they don't know me very well.
But, well, what I'm saying is that the way they've designed things to go is to get our mindset into this Luciferian doctrine.
Yes.
Sure.
I know. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they use another angle, too, and they use this one all the time, everywhere, of course, that they project themselves as doing good for people. And they have the fundraisers. You'll see them standing out at the four-way signs taking donations to give to a charity. And because they present themselves this way as something good, people never question. And if you actually try to show them that what they're doing is evil and wrong, you're the one that gets mocked and you're the one that gets scorned for trying to expose the truth. Because anytime anybody perceives something, what they perceive as good, and some other organization or some other group of people is doing that good, that's accepted in their belief, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see all the top citizens, say, of like this city here. You have the postmaster, in fact, he was the former postmaster, and who knows who else is in the Order of the Lodge right now.
Right.
But they see these top citizens, so this has to be good. You know, it's just just a men's group. They just gather together. It's just the boys having a good old time, and that's all it'll ever be to them.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's how anyone who's not in the club views it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they're just harmless.
And that's why it's sometimes so. Unless God gives somebody some understanding, or Jesus opens somebody's understanding, they'll just denounce you as a heretic and crazy.
Yeah, how dare you come against our culture, you know?
Yes, sir.
What we know is right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Married with Children is coming on at 8 o'clock, and if I have to deal with the truth, I might be so upset that I might miss my show tonight, you know?
Yeah, they can watch Married with Children and then read the NIV Bible, all published by the same man.
Sure.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Would that be Rupert, right?
Yeah, Rupert, yeah. Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, that was a good post.
You bet. Well, that's the truth.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Oh, my, isn't it something?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we're just so crazy that people just cannot. I mean, this is just absolute insanity to most people, what we're talking about now. Because it's so far out of anything they've come to know in life, you know. I mean, everything they've known, and of course we know that, you know, that everything that we knew, you know, has changed. It was upside down. It was taught to us wrong by our parents, and
right.
It was taught to us wrong by our society and public school and all around us. You know, they were all in deception when the day we were born. This world was in deception. So, you know, it continues that way until God opens up our eyes. And it takes God. There's no other way that you can get through this without the Lord's light come upon you.
Amen.
That's the truth.
You can't.
Yes,
I mean, people cannot see this. There's blinders that are put on people's eyes, and until the blinders are taken off, you can't. You cannot come into the things of God.
That's right.
That's right.
We cannot do this on our own.
Amen.
If we could, it would be we wouldn't need God.
That's the truth. And unless God initiates that sequence of events for you to be able to see, you're just, like you said, you're just going to continue on being blind.
You bet.
You know, and you'll be justified, and that'll be your life, you know, and however long that's going to last.
Yes, sir.
Well, I hear you guys are talking about putting together a little radio station.
Yeah.
Maybe like this one, or a little different, maybe. But I'll tell you what, you guys are good. You guys are all right. So you know, I'm excited about it. I think it'd be really neat.
Yeah. I don't really know too much on the technical end. So only thing I've ever been able to do is, you know, just basically talk.
Yeah.
Well, listen and talk, you know.
Uh-huh.
Brother Shane, he's the technical, him and Pastor are the technical gurus. Now, Brother Doug, he's quite adept on some of that stuff, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we just all join together and
I might have to move down there with you folks.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I'll bring the radio station with me. That way you don't have to buy nothing.
Hey, bud. Yeah. We already have a turnkey operation.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I've thought of it. You know, I've lived communally, before for 14 years, and of course, what I was into was not the truth in a lot of ways. But it kind of went sour. But I've always wanted to live in a farm type of a situation, like you guys have. You know, where you're growing your own food, you're not feeding off of this society and what they're giving us.
Yes, sir.
You know, this stuff that they call food that's in the supermarkets, it's not food. You know, and all this, you guys are working around that whole thing, and I just think I think it's the will of God. I mean, it's just no other way around it. I mean, if you're gonna really believe in God, then you know, there's things that need to be done, and you guys are doing it. I really think it's cool.
Well, what we stress as much is that not necessarily it's for everybody to necessarily just dive in and jump into a situation like this, because and then some people have had experiences like you may have had a bad experience,
yeah,
or not so fruitful experience.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of wary about committing to something like this again. But
right.
One thing the Bible does tell us is that they that believe were together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Sure.
And what that means is that they all lived close enough, like the Book of Acts says, that they could go from house to house.
Sure.
They could break bread and have fellowship and prayers.
They
had favor with God and with man, and we see that happening. And so yeah, I think that Brother Pilgrim, that just the times that we're living in itself is going to be bringing God's elect from the four winds and get them gathered back together.
Yeah.
To await and meet Him at His coming.
Uh huh.
And praise the Lord.
Yes,
sir. I believe it. I mean, I for the last couple of years I've been doing Remnant Radio. I've been seeing, you know, His remnant people getting together, where God's making them known to one another, where they weren't previously, from all parts of the world that they never knew existed. I mean, He's causing a communication to take place to some degree that wasn't there before.
Amen.
And I think you're right. I think He's gonna create a unity amongst His remnant people that are, where they're going to be a cord that cannot be broken.
Yes, sir.
You know, they're not going to be just separate entities out here all the time, like it has been, actually, for a long time. And I just haven't found anybody to work with. You know, it's just, well, you know how it is. You, you believe these what we believe, and God's brought you in the truth, and you find only a man every once in a while who even understands or has a clue where you're at.
Amen.
You know, I mean, it's just not that often that anyone can even agree with you on anything, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. You know.
Very true.
And if there's no agreement, you know, how can there be unity?
Well, two cannot walk together except they be agreed.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, well, again, too, you have everybody in this, of course, they call this a Christian nation, as we've
yeah.
told.
Oh.
Of course, we all know this pagan Christianity.
Yeah.
But the confusion also presents itself when you have this group over here calling themselves Christians and they allow homosexuality to go on.
Oh, sure.
They actually condone it. And then you have another group that call themselves Christians, and they worship idols.
Openly, yeah.
And teach others to do to it, and so you have all these aspects, and then if you have somebody that's just God's just drawn somebody just received Jesus Christ,
yeah.
And the next thing, they have all this confusion. The devil's going to send all
yeah.
this confusion at them, because all the time their mind has been molded. Well, these people say they're Christians,
yeah.
And these people say they're Christians, and the true God, Word of God, has been so perverted that their mind is already wandering to a state of confusion.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Are you aware of what's going on with Hagee and Koofy?
No, sir. I sure.
Oh,
you
know who John Hagee is, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Well, he's formed this organization called Koofy, which is Christians United for Israel.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh,
boy, yeah. And this, he's tried for a lot of years to get this thing going. Well, it wasn't only until this last year that he finally got this thing off, okay? And he's got like 400-some churches behind, and he's held these conferences. And they're huge conferences. And, I mean, I'm talking about big people show up. World leaders show up to these things, these Koofy conferences, okay? And they're on and on and on about accepting the Jews into our faith, is how he puts it, and you know that we ought to be standing behind the Jews 100% because they are the chosen people and all this.
Oh,
here's the deal. That's bad enough, but here's what's the real kicker. In the Koofy conferences, Hagee has made a policy that no one is to preach Jesus Christ in these conferences.
Mm. Boy, we know what devil's working on.
Because they do not want the Jews offended. And they've come out. Now, Pat Robertson, Hagee, Robertson, I think Crouch, I think a lot of these people have come right out with statements, and Graham believes this too now, Billy Graham. Come out and said that the Jews do not need Jesus Christ. They are the chosen people of God, and God will hold them to Himself. And so there's no need for Jesus Christ, in their opinion.
Yeah.
In other words, they've just made two plans of salvation here.
Well, it's dispensational salvation.
Exactly. But to me, that throws out the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just you just flushed it right down the toilet.
Well, yeah,
and that's what they've done. That's what Hagee's done, and all these people that are in this thing, this dispensationalism, they've just flushed Jesus Christ and His work on the cross right down the toilet. Because because if there's a people that don't need it, you know, then
maybe I don't need it too.
Right.
That's exactly what they're preaching.
Yeah.
That is a doctrine of a devil.
Oh, absolutely, it's a doctrine of devils. But this is what's going on in today's age, and they're calling that Christianity.
Sure.
You see? So, it's like you said, it's no wonder people are confused.
Well, my question is they just that got done having, didn't they just get done having some sodomite parade over there in, it was either Jerusalem or Tel Aviv or something like that?
I'm not sure I know about that one. I may have heard about it. I didn't pay attention to it or something.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I somebody had told me they just got done having one of those over there, and you know, well, you know, I've noticed a lot of these talk show hosts, well, particular Liddy, G. Gordon Liddy's been on the air, and I mean, it's just like every time you turn on the radio, he's interviewing some rabbi or some IDF guy or... you know, he's just gone crazy over this Israel thing, and of course, you know, Liddy just got into being a Mason in the last couple of years, a master Mason. He himself talks about that on.
Oh, really? He talks about it, doesn't
he? Oh, yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah, he calls certain people brother when they call in, and believe me, those people always get in. You know, there might be a million people trying to call that talk show, but this one guy in Texas is always on the line.
Oh my. You know? He's mystery school, you know.
Well, yeah, but that's what it is, and see, what I believe, part of what I think is happening is Satan is trying. You know, he's always tried to be God, and he's always trying to mimic God. And any time he can cause people to walk in any kind of disobedience, he is sitting right there in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God when people obey.
Yeah.
What he is leading and guiding people to do.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that that's the part with I think you called him the Yahwehist, the sacred name.
Yeah, the Yahwehist.
Messianic movement.
Yeah.
Now, I know, no doubt, there are many sincere people that just love God, want to do right,
mm-hmm.
you know. They want to keep God's commandments and stuff like that. And they fed up with this pagan churchianity out there. So they jump from one place to another.
To another, yeah.
And again, like you said, they don't know that there's things like the Kabbalah that's made inroads into these things, and they have no idea of this, you know. So they're really getting in. And then not only that, they're going to end up losing their faith over it. And
sure.
I think that the Spirit is moving us back to where basically you're trying to set things up where people who are really Edomites aren't even Jews are the ones that are being paid homage to in a land that has no New Testament validation whatsoever.
Right.
The scripture says it's Sodom and Egypt where our Lord was also crucified.
Yes.
And there's no other way. There's only one way for a man to come to God, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And the bottom line is that no matter which way you try to make it, it's just not going to work. You know, it's not going to fly with God.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
And you'll find, too, I mean, the pattern's still there, and the evidence and the events are still there. If you look at the scribes and the Pharisees, they did the same thing. They went through the whole time Jesus walked on this earth, they sought to discredit him. And when they couldn't discredit him, they had to go and kill him. I mean, so that even then they were always trying to remove Jesus, remove his name, because they knew that they were fearful they would take away his place in his nation. So, I mean, it's just been from, and it's no surprising now that John Hagee and their group is doing the same thing. And because with Jesus out of the way, they can just run full tilt and do what they're going to do.
Right. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's what's happening today. Is man is afraid because that Jesus Christ is coming, and he's going to take away their place in their nation.
Yeah.
And they know it's going to happen, and that's why the Spirit is resisting it so hard because it is coming down to an end, and the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ.
You bet.
Amen.
Yeah, they know it. They know it, but they're still just as in Jesus' day going to try to put a stop to it.
Yeah, Caiaphas knew who Jesus was. It still didn't keep him from turning him over to death.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Now the other side never learns.
No, sir.
Do they?
Even though it's been written and been told.
Yep.
That's the truth.
Hallelujah.
The devil still thinks he's going to win this battle. He still thinks it. He still doesn't believe that he's going to be in an ultimately bad place. He just doesn't believe it.
Nope.
He still thinks he's going to win against God.
Sure he does. He ain't got no other choice.
No, sir.
Yeah, I guess so.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And have you ever noticed that these Edomites, as you talk about them, how they also know they have an innate nature in them where they know that this life is all there is.
Boy.
Have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever noticed, like, Star Trek, for example, like Spock? You know, he puts up that little hand sign he does.
Sure.
Right.
Live long and prosper.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, because that's all they've got is long life. That is all they have.
Yep. And actually, they borrowed that from a Levite sign.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
The high priest would make, I believe, on the Day of Atonement.
Oh.
The way they hold their hands a
yes.
certain way. Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And what did the symbol mean originally? Do you know? Is that what it meant? Live long and prosper? Or does it mean?
I think it was a form of blessing the nation.
Blessing the nation, okay.
Yeah, I couldn't be sure of it, but I've seen that. I have seen that hand sign in books where the high priest was holding up his hands.
Oh, really? See, I didn't know that. I knew it had to have been, because otherwise they wouldn't have, you know, they're always repeating, they're always bringing the stuff out of the past. You know, these symbols, anytime that you see them used by the rich and elite or in Hollywood or wherever, they're brought out of the past from somewhere. You know, these aren't just things they make up.
No.
So I knew it had to be, I've yet to run across the history of it, and I'm glad you told me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, it's amazing. When you, the deeper you dig into this stuff and realize what they're doing and how they're duping the masses,
mm-hmm.
it just gets it further just drives you into Jesus. I mean, it's just
yes,
further
sir.
And further into Jesus.
Hallelujah.
To realize how this ancient conspiracy has propagated, you know, and how much of a war we're really in. I mean. You know, there are times when it's quiet and it doesn't seem like we're in a war anymore, but we're always in the. This is a huge war.
Yes, sir.
You know, huge.
Pastor Dow has the saying, you may have stopped doing something about the devil, but he has not stopped doing something about you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And he's working on every one of us.
Yeah. He's trying.
Yes, sir.
But. For his remnant, for those that God has called for his purposes, just like Jesus, the devil can't win. There's no way. He's not going to be allowed to.
No.
You know, it's not because of anything that we're doing. It's because of what God's seal that he's set upon his.
Yes, sir. Well, God's going to kindle a fire right in the midst of them.
Yeah.
You know, betrayal runs both directions.
Yes, sir.
mm-hmm.
And I think that he's going to get left high and dry at the same time. That they're all going to be destroyed together, but they're going to leave him high and dry.
Can you imagine what it would be like in hell? I mean, people all have their own... You know, vision of, you know, is it a burning place? Is it a cold place?
Sure.
Just imagine this. Imagine millions, if not billions, well, I'm sure it's billions, maybe even more than that, of beings all dedicated to one thing, getting to the top.
Yeah.
Boy.
All of them struggling and pushing down everyone that they possibly can to get on the top of everybody else.
Mm.
Can you imagine that struggle?
Mm. Sounds like it's already going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is. But, I mean, gee whiz. I mean, oh, talk it. Wailing and gnashing of teeth.
That's the horrible thought, because I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't think, you know, I mean, men, you know, all men are wicked, and they need Jesus. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But it's just horrible to think about the multitudes of people that are going to end up there, and I really don't want any part of it.
Oh.
I really don't. And so I'm just going to keep myself in the love of God.
You bet.
And hopefully somebody will hear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's it. You know, I mean, we're here for that reason.
Yes, sir.
You know, otherwise, God would just take us if we didn't have something, you know, some purpose here. And
sure.
So, and our purpose is for that, to find others of His seed, of, you know, of His remnant people to bring into the light.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, that's what we're here for.
Even Elijah one time thought he was the only one left, and of course, you know, God told him he got a remnant reserve. He got 7,000, and he bought, you know,
that's right.
Baal, and,
that's right.
And he's going to have the same thing in this time.
Oop, you bet.
Yes,
you
sir, bet. Absolutely.
That's
the
truth.
Whole testimony and the witness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the truth.
You know, Satan's, of course, going to try to cause all to worship him, and it just ain't going to happen.
No.
You know, God's word is true, and God's word is it. That's just all there is to it.
See, God has to have a people that will stand as a witness against the devil, against all of his dirty deeds, and his wickedness, and against all those things, because you see, the devil thinks he's right. He's deceived billions into thinking he's right, and God has to have a witness against all of that.
Yes,
and be a witness against their misdeeds, against those things that are wicked.
That's true.
And when it comes to great judgment, you see, we and all those that have gone before us that were on the Lord's army will be a witness against the darkness.
Yes, sir.
In that great judgment. We will be witnesses in court.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We are called to be here to witness these acts, these things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
As well as finding his other people. I mean,
that's right.
But we're a witness against the darkness, but we're also a witness for the light.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And that's our two main primary jobs that we do.
Bearing a witness.
No, we're witnesses.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Both ways, and one of them, our primary witness, is yet to come. It's going to be, like I say, we're going to be in the court, in the great court, as witnesses.
Yes, sir.
We will
sure.
be. We're going to be called. We're going to be called by the great judge. As that's going to be quite a court scene, will it not?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And that's a promise that's been given to God's remnant and God's people, is that they will judge angels.
Yes, sir.
And if we're going to be judging angels, then how much more the things that pertain to this life?
Absolutely.
And, yeah, we can judge these things.
Absolutely.
Amen. And there's no one else better qualified to judge those things.
Sure.
Amen.
Yes. Well, we're judges because of His Holy Spirit. See, it allows us to know right from wrong.
Hallelujah. That's true.
And
amen.
More so than any judge that holds this earthly positions down here. You know, I mean, the government puts these judges in power, and they're wicked and corrupt, and and if they know what's right or wrong, they don't even act that way. You know, they do what's evil and wrong, and they know so. You know,
that's right.
And but God has called us to be judges, righteously.
Righteous, amen.
And but He's given us more than our own power. He's given us the Holy Spirit,
amen.
In order to use as the tool.
That's right.
To divide the dividing sword of the Spirit, to divide that between evil and good, between wickedness and righteousness.
Amen.
Absolutely.
God doesn't have much taste for anything that's in between.
No.
No.
He likes it hot or cold.
I found that out, brother.
Amen.
I found that out to be true.
Yes, sir.
All I got to do is read the Bible anyway.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Wow, that's interesting about this John Hagee, boy.
I tell you what, it's got me just pumping.
These people are frauds, and they always have been frauds. And I mean, you look at Jerry Falwell about 10, 15,
wait a minute,
15
that's not,
years.
That's not his name, is it?
Huh?
Isn't it Falswell?
I don't know.
False well of living
false
water?
False well. I like that. That's a good one. Yeah. I'll have to remember that one. Like the church not of Christ.
Yeah, the church.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Jerry Faltzwell, he actually went down to, I can't remember whether it was Bolivia or whatever, and he was paid like $25,000 one time to be a keynote speaker. Now, this is while he was the president of the Moral Majority and all that. Though that's actually a lie, because there never has been a moral majority
no,
in the world in any given time.
Absolutely.
Sure. And so he was paid a great sum of money to go down and be a keynote speaker at the Reverend Sun Young Moon Convention down there.
Yes.
They all got their ties, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they're not. They've always been false. RW has always been a shambok.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, Clefro Dollar is always... That's his last name. It's real good.
Yes, sir. Hey, but you know what the real problem today is that's going on in the world, Pilgrim?
Well, I know you have a certain thing in mind, and I could probably...
Exactly. Yeah,
so go ahead, brother. Tell me.
Exactly. What it is God has a controversy with his people.
Oh.
Oh, boy, yeah.
The problem is his people. The people are in iniquity. They're in transgression against him.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Amen.
And it's the same thing that, you know, judgment must first begin at the house of God.
Absolutely, brother. That's the word of God.
And, you know, if the people, you know, or like up here in this little small town, there must be at least 150 church buildings up here.
Yeah.
You would think that with a town that may be topping 20,000 people, you would think that with 20,000 people, 150 churches, you would think that this place would be a Bible belt, a state of holiness.
Oh, you'd think so.
But this place is so corrupt and so wicked.
Yes, sir.
And it's because all the people that are pretending, the closet Christians, all the Christians, you know, the devils in the pulpits who are 32nd degree Mason swearing oaths to Satan, and it just goes on and on.
Right.
Amen.
And they're perceived as men of God.
Yes, sir.
By these blind sheep.
You know, Isaiah said that all the watchmen are blind.
Yeah.
They're dumb dogs.
Dumb dogs.
Yes.
Loving to slumber, loving to sleep, can't even bark.
Amen.
Sure.
Peter, that's what we got going on today. You know, but what else do the people have to go forth with? Because the real true church, just like you know just what I do, is marginalized. We're kind of like almost underground nowadays because...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The first thing that people see, and Satan has flooded the market with all this hypocritical religion, TBN and all the rest of the sort of people, if they want to come to Jesus Christ, the first thing they get is these wicked churches on every corner of the street.
Pimps. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
And then they cut on the TV, they get flooded even more, and so then by the time you start trying to tell somebody the truth out there, they'll believe the lie for so long that the lie has become the truth to them, rather than and then they look at you cross-eyed and think that you're some alien or something from out of this world.
That's
because
it.
You tell them the truth.
That's
yes,
it.
Sir.
Amen.
Well, they just go into shutdown. They don't even know how to deal with it. They don't. They just, you know, it's just total beyond. You know, it's just they don't know how. So all they do is they run. Usually they just run and scatter because they just don't know how to deal with it.
You know, it's the word of God that says that my spirit shall not always strive with man.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
And everybody's waiting for this great Holy Spirit move to be poured out on in the last day.
Mm.
You know,
Joel said that when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, Peter bare witness that that God's Holy Spirit been here for some time.
That's right.
Sure did.
Amen. And they're waiting for this great big old gigantic move and revival, but when I go read the book of Revelations, I don't see it.
No, sir.
No.
And no, sir.
No, that's right. No, sir. That's right. Yeah.
And the men shall wax worse and worse.
What we see is that the deception will become so great that even the very elect, that means just a few people, even the very elect would be deceived had it not been, you know, God reached down and saved them.
Yes,
brother,
sir.
That's the word of God.
That's what we read. It isn't no great revival.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. And And it's there's all the devil's always working. He's even working on the very elect, and he's going and that's his goal, is to try to find a way to deceive them too.
Yes, sir.
He wants a hold of them too.
I bet it's dark, very dark out there in that area where you're at.
Well, brother, I don't know. There's darkness all over, and I, you know, well, here's what I think. There are certain geographical locations in the planet that the mystery schools, the Illuminati, has set up camp, okay, as their centers, as their places to work out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Las Vegas is the capital city for the Illuminati.
Wow.
So if you want to look at it that way, I guess yes, we are probably in the very darkest of places in the planet. It is no wonder that we have a pyramid sitting down here on the Las Vegas Strip that has a light beam of a million watts of power that shines straight up into the heavens.
Wow.
That is the eye of Horus, of course.
Sure.
There's no wonder we have that thing sitting down there. There's no wonder that we have a 1,150-foot tower, which was planned to be, but they wouldn't let them build it. It was planned to be the largest structure on the North American continent, but they couldn't get away with it. They had to tone it down a little bit. So it's now stands at 1,150 feet, which makes it, I believe, the tallest building west of the Rockies, or on the West Coast. And they call that the Stratosphere Tower. And this thing is shaped just exactly like a phallus, like a man's penis.
Wow, I was just getting ready to say that before you said that.
Now you wouldn't, people wouldn't believe it, but the first thing that they did with this phallus that they built there on the strip is they put an amusement ride called the Big Shot on the top of it. And the Big Shot is a 200-foot tower that extends above the top of this phallus.
Oh, boy.
And it takes a whole bunch of people in seats, and it shoots them up, straight up this tower, at several G's.
My.
And then it gets all the way to the top, and then it free falls back down, okay? Now, what this is, it is a symbol
of
the Illuminati to show that this is the fertilization of the planet. This is the ejecta coming out of the phallus, that they are fertilizing the whole earth, you see? And and people go for this on an amusement ride, not even knowing that they're being used as symbols of Satan's seed in the earth. Can you believe that?
Hey, do you have a picture of that?
Oh yes, it's on the internet all over. I'm sure I can find a link and get it to you.
Please, you know, the other day I was talking to some people up here, and I guess you can deem it and term it as end time talk.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking end times, and don't you know that they didn't have the most remotest idea of what we were talking about?
Oh no,
they never even heard of the Illuminati, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers,
right,
the Bilateral Commission, the Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bone.
Yeah.
What can you do with somebody who has a misinformed mind? What are you doing?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And those are just front organizations for the real power behind this thing.
Right.
Those are just organizations that are easy to scope out and check out.
They're the insulators for the real ones.
Yeah.
The real ones that are really doing all the damage.
But yet people won't even go that far to see that, you know. Let alone come into the really deep mysteries. You know, they won't. That's just surface stuff for those of us who've been in this for a while. to understand these things.
Well, one of the most popular songs back in the the 70s was "Tell Me Lies, Tell Me Sweet Little Lies."
Yeah, I remember that song. was that Fleetwood Mac?
Yeah, I think it was Fleetwood Mac.
And the lead singer of Fleetwood Mac was
Stevie Nicks,
who is a Satanist.
Yep.
Documented. Out of her own words, out of her own witnesses, she is a Satanist. She is an Aleister Crowleyite.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Yes.
I didn't think she studied under Antoine LaVey. I'm not sure, but I do know she had ties to Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, almost all the rock and roll stars did.
You know, if you even mention some of these names to people today, they still don't even know. You know, that's one reason why the church, or the majority of people, are in this passive, lethargic, placebo state of a mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is because they don't even know their enemy.
No, they have
they
no clue. They don't even know. Some of them don't even believe an enemy exists.
Oh,
Brother Doug said they don't want to know.
The common New Age thought is the enemy is within. The enemy is only us. It's not an external force.
Oh, yeah.
That we're our own enemy, and that to come into the light, then all we need to do is just change our mind.
Yeah, New Age philosophy.
That's humanism. It's Gnostic gospel is what it is.
So that basically what you're saying is that you'll either come to harmonic convergence or you'll be cleansed off the earth.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
What did you say, Brother Doug?
Oh, I just saying they don't want to know. I mean, men are willingly ignorant. They don't want to know the truth. They just try and tell somebody what's actually going on.
Right.
I mean, you take the simple things. First, you try to tell them about Jesus, and they look at you like crazy, and they say, I'll try something a little bit more up their alley. Like, you tell them, like, about 911 or all the other stuff that's going on. And even, of course, then you're labeled a conspiracy theorist and also a Christian zealot, so now you got all kinds of stuff working at you. The man is just don't stop. It is just amazing. It really is.
Hey, Pilgrim, you know that skit that you have on you.
Oh, yeah, the Santa Claus, the Christmas thing, you mean?
Yeah, sir. I played that for someone the other day.
Yeah.
And of course, we get a lot of people play. But boy, I tell you what, if I did not, I know I discerned right, but it seems like that they were upset. I mean, that was one of the best ones I've heard yet.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's been out for two. This is the second Christmas season that one's been playing.
Wow! Hey, it's really getting a lot of hits on our website.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's that was done by a man by the name of James Lloyd.
Okay.
And
okay.
James Lloyd runs a ministry called Christian Media.
Yeah.
And he has
Apocalypse Chronicle.
Exactly. That's the man. He's the one that did that.
Yeah, I've heard him.
Along with Susan, his assistant there, I think was the female voice in there.
Hey, do you have any when we heard that, some of the sisters around here said, we ought to write up some stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. You know, do you want to see? He hasn't done one about Easter yet.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to ask you.
But, sure, these things are good.
Well, they're very powerful messages. Of course, to people like us, you know, they hit kind of elementary, but they're very powerful to those who don't know.
Yeah, and when you make it, you can make a powerful message even in a comedy skit.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
And that's what makes this so dangerous to people, because it's in a comedy form.
Oh, yeah.
You see, if you were to come about preaching the same thing in a stern preacher voice, you know, people pass that off. But when you make a comedy skit off of it, you know, and they say, oh, they're making fun of us. You know,
Pilgrim, that's exactly the way a lot of people got drunk to begin with in this country.
Yeah.
Back in the late 60s and early 70s, they were trying to push an agenda. People were fearful. They put up their guard, you know. Do you know where the children are and all that kind of stuff? And so in order to bring this homosexual agenda into this country and get it accepted by the people, you had to get them to laugh at something that they detested and greatly feared.
If
you can get people to laugh at something, it isn't so frightening after all.
Yes.
Yeah, reverse psychology.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the same way music. You know, music has a way to minister that no other way can too. You know,
hallelujah.
These are all methods. So that are valid.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all for it. If you brothers can come up with a comedy skit for Easter, man, it'd be great.
Yes, sir.
We need to work on something. We really do need to work on something.
I know James Lloyd. I know, you know, he's one of them that'll, you know, he's always working on stuff like that. So he probably will come up with another one, you know, and I will probably guess his next one will be about Easter if someone else doesn't do it.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Well, there's already been ones done about Halloween, honey. Yeah.
Oh, really?
There's some. I don't really like them that well. That's why I don't play them. But,
right.
But there's been some attempts at them.
Mm-hmm.
But, Easter now. What do you think about this deal? I can't quite put two and two together all the way in my mind on some of this, on some of these things, and you probably noticed my one post about the sun actually stops for 3 days on the sundial on winter solstice.
Right.
Okay. Now it isn't. They don't show that. Normally, you'd have to actually see it on a sundial to know this, but it stops for 3 days. And in the ancients, you see, it was 3 days that the sun god died.
Right.
And then born again on the let's see, what is it? I guess it was actually born again on the fourth day at that point.
Yeah.
But,
actually, resurrection.
Yeah, which would be December 25th.
Yes.
But isn't this just too close to the Easter story?
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying?
It's all running together.
So. Somehow or another, there's a connection here that hasn't been made in my mind, but okay, right. My wife says there's exactly a 9-month period. See, the calendar is divided into quarters. They're called 91st days.
Yeah.
And 391st days after this so-called Easter, you get Christmas. Or one after Christmas, you get Easter.
Uh-huh.
It's in one of those quarters. You see what I'm saying? Everything is done in those quarters when they do this stuff. So, anyway, the 91st days.
Wow.
You got 91 days, and then, you know, where you got one event, and then 91 days to the next. And then, of course, These Messianic Jews or these people that get into that stuff are all in this 91st day stuff.
Mm. Well, yeah, and there's also I've read in the past that between every holiday or even pagan church observance or whatever, it's always 6 and 7 weeks. It's like it goes 7 weeks from Christmas to Groundhog Day, and then it's 6 weeks from there to the next spring equinox or what.
Mm-hmm.
And all these holidays are in patterns of 13 also.
Oh, wow.
I've read that somewhere before, somebody had it, I think it was in a book, and it was drawn out like that.
Well, I'll tell you what amazes me more than anything, and when you read the scriptures, Old Covenant, New Covenant, makes no difference where you start or where you end.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the Heavenly Father did any type of major move,
amen,
He would always do it around the appointed times that He, in His seasons,
yes,
mostly around the feast days.
Mm-hmm.
And,
prophetically, yes, sir.
But when you turn around and you look and see this country that calls itself a Christian nation, which is far from it, everything that they do, they exalt Satan, and they have gone about just like the Roman Catholic Church did, and have sought to change the commandments, the laws, the times, the seasons, and everything.
There you go.
And the whole world is blinded and steeped by it. As a matter of fact, they run hard after it because they have done it for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's pretty bad. And it's no wonder that people today don't have the ability to even count from 1 to 7 or to see darkness from light. I mean,
so true.
It's something.
Yeah.
So true.
And so you got this winter, you got to, like, for, you know, Easter has to do with a lot of fertility.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Ostara. It's a Wiccan celebration called Ostara.
Yep.
The moon goddess, the sacred hair moon goddess.
Except here in Las Vegas, they do it every day.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, with that phallus.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
yes, sir.
They're putting that ejecta up there all day long, every day.
You know, they did the same thing when they redid the Washington Monument.
Oh,
In the year 2000.
Okay.
When they rededicated the Washington Monument after a major renovation, they had a nighttime ceremony. They began to light up white lights at ground level, and then when the entire obelisk was lit up, they exploded fireworks above the top of it.
Oh, yeah, that's the same thing, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Exactly right. I didn't realize that.
Yes, sir. And really, what Pastor was doing was saying, you know, Easter having things a lot to do with fertility.
Yeah.
The fertility religion has always been the main competitor, something that was coming against the truth. When you read about the groves in the Old Testament, that was a worship of fertility images and things like that. Everything that is considered an abomination with the Lord God, and I know He doesn't put any kind of sin above another, but God does place special emphasis on sins of adultery and fornication, being that these are the kinds of things that destroy a person's soul quicker than anything else. So it only stands to reason why the devil would go this route, because there's something particularly distasteful, displeasurable, and abominable to God about these kinds of things. And I believe it has to, because it goes against commitment, it goes against loyalty, and it goes against purity and love and things like that. And all these things that God as a father really wants for His children and His family.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's also amazing, too, you know, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, you know, the first one He lists, of course, is, "Thou shalt know the God before me." And that's all you see. I mean, it's constant. Like we were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, like December 21st now. That's talking about starting off the whole Christmas season, and they call that the High Sabbath Day of Yule. And you all heard about the Yule log.
Mm-hmm.
And the tradition behind the Yule log, talking about the coming around full circle, is they would burn this, and then they would save just a piece of it, and bring it full circle back into the next December 21st, which is the solstice, which is Yule, which is the High Sabbath Day of the Witches, and one of them. And they would use this to rekindle the new Yule log, thereby keeping the cycle going. And then, of course, we heard Pilgrim talk about 4 days later, after that, you come to December 25th, and of course, we know, which is the birth of the Tammuz. And then, of course, the whole thing being steeped in idolatry, and people not just wagonly going through that idolatry and putting up the tree and burning the Yule log and putting the candle out and decorating the tree and so on and so forth. Yes, sir.
Hey, Pilgrim, do y'all have a lot of Wiccans out there in that area?
Well, I'm sure there is. Las Vegas is 1.5 to 2 million now, so...
Oh, boy. Wow.
There's no way for me to know. But, I mean, well, think about it. I mean, all it's about is a cult here.
Right.
So, you know, no doubt. You know, they have another little, they've got a show at one of the casinos called the, and actually it's gone worldwide, it's called the Cirque du Soleil. You probably seen something about this. It's Cirque, C-I-R-Q-U-E, Cirque, D-D-E, and Soleil, S O L Soleil. Soleil. It's French. And what it what that means is Circus of the Sun.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what it is it's a circus. It's where they, unlike P.T. Barnum and Bailey, it's unlike that. It's a circus where they're doing different stuff. More of a modern circus, I guess. But it's continual all year round here on one of the clubs at the Strip. Well, when you see their van, and I've never been to this thing, so I can't tell you firsthand what goes on there, but I see their van where they use to transport people, and it's got this ancient sun symbol on it, Circus of the Sun, you see? And so what people do here in Las Vegas, and they get as many as 500,000 people come in on a big day, like New Year's. And what they're doing, what Las Vegas is all about, is it is the religious capital of the world.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Huh. And what people do when they come here is they come to worship at these churches called casinos. Mm. And these shows, like the Cirque du Soleil, is a church meeting. This is a ceremony. This is a worship ceremony to the sun god.
To the god of chance.
Yes, you see? And so all of these things down here are religious temples. They are, every one of them. And they're all part of to pay homage to Satan, to Lucifer.
Yeah, to the sun god. That's what this whole...
Yeah.
Thing that they call Christianity today is steeped and rooted in.
Yeah.
From the Sabbath to Sunday worship to Easter and Christmas, it all has to do with the sun worship.
Mm-hmm. Now you may have not have heard this, but Caesar's Palace, which is one of the old ones here, one of the big ones.
Right.
He brought in a golden god from the king of Thailand. The king of Thailand had a god commissioned and made just for Caesar's Palace.
What did they name it?
I'm not sure what the name of the thing is, but if you're familiar with the Thai culture, the king of Thailand has to officially decree a god, and they've got hundreds of them.
Right,
and people worship at these gods, okay, and they're all gold, okay, and so he gave this one to the Caesar's Palace, and they've got it in a little shrine there, outside. It's outside the casino, in a shrine, and it's all guarded by lasers and stuff, so nobody can steal it or break into it. But they've got kneeling pads all around the place to kneel to this thing. They've got their little sacrifice trays for people to put their sacrifices on and everything, and this goes on all day and all night.
How far are you from there?
Well, I'm in Action Boulder City, which is over the hill from Las Vegas. I don't even live in the same valley.
Right.
So I'm about from where this place is I'm talking about is probably about 20 to 25 miles from where I am.
You know, when I get a chance to be to Boswell to make my way that down there, I like to go see some of these places.
Oh yeah, I'll take you down there. I'll take you down. I'll show you all this stuff.
Wow.
They've got golden. Well, actually not golden, but they're bronze. Well, they've got images of everything down here. They've got images and idols everywhere set up. Angels, which are actually demons that they've got. From ancient cultures and stuff that are images and that they've. They're putting up for people to view, and plaques honored after their honor, and they've even got a big old bronze bust that's made into the wall down there on the strip of Siegfried and Roy, which you may be familiar with who they are.
Sure.
Yeah.
And to honor them, these flaming homosexuals, You know, it's. I mean, the whole thing is. But see, people come. People come from California mainly, but they come here to gamble and to take in the entertainment as they think. And they're actually coming to church, is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they gamble, they're actually, what they're doing is they're gambling before the gods.
Mm.
And many of them actually pray, and they actually, you know, they actually try to get God's favor in their gambling here. And, you know, so they're, you know, they're taking their chances,
mm-hmm.
you see, and they're trying to get lucky.
I tell you what, Satan is making some major moves right up on our noses.
No, I'll tell you.
The New World Order, it's in full effect.
Well, it's, I mean, all the symbology is right here. The whole mystery school thing is right here in Vegas.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's what I'm saying. I believe it to be. Now, we had an ex-Illuminati guy by the name of Doc Marquis. I don't know if
right.
you've ever heard of him.
I've heard
of
him.
I don't trust him for a second. I'll be honest with you. I don't trust him. I think he's an Edomite.
Okay, yeah, I understand.
However, he made a statement, which I think it could be correct or partially correct, that there are 5 Illuminati capitals in the world, and Las Vegas was one of these. Now, he made the statement in the early 90s when I heard this.
Right.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. I haven't heard from him for years and years, so I don't really know. I don't know. I don't know if he's still around or not. But there are a number of these that I do not trust. Do you know who?
That was Doc Marquis' book that illustrated how all the holidays were between 6 and 7
yeah.
weeks apart.
Now, there may be truth, you know, in a lot of what they're saying, but as far as any ultimate truth, as far as any ultimate conclusions,
right.
I wouldn't trust anything they say.
Because a lot of times they say they're actually trying to deceive.
That's
the
right.
Elect.
They're on another agenda.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Do you know about this Bill Schneebelin guy?
Never heard of.
No, sir.
Okay, well, he's come forward. He's written books and been in the alternative limelight to some degree as exposing Satanism, witchcraft, and the occult.
Uh-huh.
And spilled a lot of beans that weren't previously known. And he claimed to have been an ex-vampire. He was into vampirism and Satanism and all that stuff, and he came out of it. And this, he supposedly came out in the roundabout earlier middle 80s. Okay, and so he's been talking in the Christian alternative circles for, you know, since that time.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's another one that I don't trust. I believe him to be an Edomite. Even his name would indicate such, Schneebelin. And he's another one to watch out for. There's a whole bunch of these infiltrators and deceivers, and they will bring some things that were previously unknown out, but the ultimate end and the ultimate goal of what they're doing is something you got to watch out for.
Well, yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So there's a number of these. Doc Marquis was just one of them, but he made that statement about the 5 Illuminati capitals and Las Vegas being one. And since then, I've been watching it, and I forgot all of the different ones. I believe San Francisco. No. Wait a minute. New York was one for sure. I believe Paris might have been one, if I remember right. And I don't remember if he. I was trying to think if the Vatican was involved, but I'm not sure it was. I've been watching these things, and I really do believe that Las Vegas is the capital, if there was one, because of all the, we got symbology here, that, and they built this huge church where people come and flock, you know, by the millions. Where else in the earth is that going on except the Vatican?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. The Vatican might be a close runner of this, but this is, the Vatican is old and ancient, and all of the artifacts and the things that go on there are old. This has been just built over here. You see, so this is the active hand. You see what going on here. So that's why I'm saying that's why I believe it to be.
Hmm.
Now we know that if the Edomites have their way, and quite possibly it's more than them. It's the leaders of the mystery school want Jerusalem.
Yeah.
To be the capital.
Exactly.
Okay, and that we got to watch out for. We've had lots and lots of Edomite leaders come forward and say that Jerusalem will be the capital of the United Nations, will be the capital, you see.
Well, you do know that the Book of Revelation says that there's a city which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt.
Right.
Where also our Lord was crucified.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Revelation 11, and of course that city is Jerusalem.
Right.
Yes, sir.
So that may eventually be, you know, the number one occult capital of the world if it isn't already. But
that only stands to reason because the two witnesses are going to finish their testimony there.
Right.
In that place. So.
Yes.
And of course Satan is nothing but an emulator. All he tries to do everything to get as close to God as he can, so he can try to deceive the elect. Because he already has the world.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Right. Yep.
I tell you, we're in some serious times, and I tell you, I thank God for you being out there, Pilgrim, being a watchman. Because I tell you, some of the things we're learning from you, I tell you, it just does nothing but enhance our faith and all that, but add to our arsenal.
Well, you know, I started off as an FM station here before we got on the internet.
Right.
And the Lord spoke to me about the FM station. He said, he told me to put the FM station up.
Uh-huh.
And I did that very day. I put the FM station up.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened to have been October 31st.
Huh. Look at that.
And when we went on the air, and I only went on the air with 1 watt, but it was enough to cover Boulder City.
Mm-hmm.
He again spoke to me, and he said that we're raiding the enemy's camp on their high and holy day.
Mm.
That's what he told me. And so we were here for about 18 months on the air, and at one time or another, we were clear up to 80 watts of power. We were reaching out in one direction about 40 to 50 miles to a little community 40 or 50 miles away. We covered Lake Mead like no other station did.
Mm-hmm.
So the boaters and all the they've got, I don't know what the figures are, something like a million people that go out to, or 2 million people, something like that. There's lots of them that go out to Lake Mead to recreate every year.
Hmm.
You know, and of course a lot of those are multiples. You know, they count people because they actually have a gate where they count people. They go into it and come back out. So, you know, where they collect fees. So they know exactly how many people are going in there. But these people, you see, when they went to turn their FM radio on, were getting our station. And we put this out for 18 months, and then come the FCC knocking on the door one day.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You know, the FCC hadn't come.
And they told me that they had complaints. Well, that didn't surprise me, and actually I was quite surprised that we were on the air for that long, actually, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, without any intrusion.
Yeah, because I figured we would be put off, you know, within several months, you know, after hitting the issues that we hit.
You know, they have a lot of pirate radio stations all throughout this land.
Oh, yeah, there's estimates as much as 10,000 at any one time.
Hmm. Well, wow.
I don't know who estimates that or where that figure comes from, but I've heard it in a number of places that nobody knows for sure because most of them are so secretive, you know,
right.
That they just don't see. I went completely high profile. I wasn't trying to hide from nobody or nothing. I just went completely high profile.
Right.
And
right.
Big presence. Okay. And So, you know, I was making noise. But,
oh yeah, you were.
Yeah, but a lot of these small broadcasters they on purpose don't make a lot of noise because they don't want to be, you know, they don't want the knock on the door, you know.
Well, I tell you what, right. Sometimes the best place to hide is right out in the open.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Right, brother. That's
right.
That. You know, I've considered that myself. You know, of course, you know, natural wisdom, worldly wisdom would tell us the worst place to be in the coming days is in the city. You know, you want to be out, you know, like you guys are out in the country and so forth and better protection.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I thought that way at first, and God called, actually we went out in the mountains, and God called us back, and I realize now that my place is right here in this city, hiding in this big crowd of people.
Well, you got to work for you to do that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so you see, I mean, the deal is what's coming ahead, and the things that are coming ahead is going to take God's provision and God's protection no matter where you are. I don't care if you're out in a cave, hiding in a cave, 100 miles from anywhere, or whether you're in the middle of a big city. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to need God's protection and power regardless.
Well, that's why the people need the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Amen.
Right. So, you know, I mean, like I say, you can figure it out naturally. Well, it's easier to be, you know, well, that could be. But it's going to take the intervention of God in our lives to keep us in this day. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, if he has to bring ravens to feed us, then fine. You know?
You do know that God is in the business right now of getting his remnant in touch with each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I've noticed that since I've had the station up. It's been that way. And I think that's one reason why he caused me to do this. You know, so that we can find, you know, so that some will communicate a little better, you know.
You both said that's just right, and you mentioned something about that even earlier in the program.
Yeah, we did.
And that is that. Then that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because God communicates by His Spirit, and we understand in our heart what He wants us to do, and I believe that He's going to gather us. So together in the Spirit, regardless of our geographical locations, that we're going to be in tune with one another.
Right.
And I believe we'll know what our situations are with one another, no matter what, how many miles are separating us.
Yeah.
It'll be just like we were in the same room. I believe He's going to bring us to that place.
I absolutely know it, brother.
Well, I tell you, we better get prepared because we as the church, the assembly of God, we better get ourselves prepared and ready for all the things that He's going to be doing with us.
Yeah.
Amen. Because I mean, Mark 16, you know, it says they shall drink any deadly thing and shall not hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Philip being translated, I mean, right down the road after he just got finished preaching to the eunuch and expounding of him the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if the enemy is going to be doing all these works that we read about in the book of Revelation, how much greater works than these that we shall do because we are born again by the blood of Jesus and our name is written down.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So that's coming. That is going to happen. I do see it, though. I do see it because it's very rare that you meet, or if I can use this term, quality brethren.
Yeah,
sir. You know, people who really have the fear of God working in them, and they have a good spirit, and you know, it's a rarity now.
Well, that's the remnant. I mean, that is the remnant. The remnant is just only a few in number.
That's the truth.
That's all it is. The remnant isn't these 2 million people that, you know, that think they're the Lord's. You know, that's not God's remnant people.
Amen.
Hey, Pilgrim, what do you see God doing with all these people out here caught up under the deceptiveness of Satan in these modern day churches? Tell us something about that, because I'm gonna rebroadcast this. I'm gonna stick this little talk that we're doing here up on the website as a download that people can listen to.
Well, I think it's clear, even in the words of Jesus Himself, that a man cannot serve two masters. That he will, in that day, spew out, probably the correct word is vomit out of his mouth,
mm-hmm.
all of those that have been sitting on the fence lukewarm. Now here's the thing. These people don't think they are.
Amen.
They think, a lot of them think they're serving the Lord.
Exactly.
But they're living two cultures.
Mm-hmm.
They are living what they say for Jesus, and many of them do have a heart for the Lord. I'm not going to deny that.
Right.
And God bless them in that desire for the Lord. However, is it a total desire? And that's my question. If they had a total desire, if they were totally committed, if they've laid their lives down on the altar of sacrifice to be consumed, you see, by God's fire.
Amen.
If they've done that, then would not they be coming to the truth?
Mm.
Would not they stop their idolatry and their whoredom of these other gods?
Sure.
Would not God bring knowledge to their hearts and to their minds?
So true, bro.
You see what I'm saying? So there's something wrong. You know, there's something that stinks in Denmark, you see?
Yeah.
And
yes.
I mean, that's bottom line. I mean, we have to face this thing, the facts, regardless of where the facts go, you see? I mean, we would all like to say, in a humanistic thought, you know, that certainly God would not turn away these people, you see? But he said, many in that day will come to me, saying, Lord, Lord, have I not done this and done that in your name?
Yes, sir.
Has not your Holy Spirit worked in my life? Has not these things happened? And God says, you know, I never knew you. You are not totally sold out to me. You called me by my name, but yet you are worshiping these other gods.
My.
You are whoring after all the comforts of society and the things of society and all these other gods. You went whoring after that instead of seeking me. See? Instead of wanting my absolute life in you. You see, I mean, that's the only answer I can give, brother. And it's the only scriptural answer.
Sure. That's the truth.
You see, there were 20 and 4 elders sitting around the throne.
Yes, sir.
But yet, outside the court,
mm-hmm.
there was a multitude which no man could number.
Right.
There's a multitude out there,
yeah.
But they weren't in the inner court. They weren't in. You see, so we know there will be many that will be saved after a fashion, that will be in the courts of heaven. We know that. We don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah, I ought to make the statement.
Yeah.
People get it. They get it mixed up when the Bible says many are called.
Yeah.
But few are chosen.
Few are
everybody.
Chosen.
You know, all these churches and everybody out there, many hear the call.
Yeah.
And they take heed to the call. But
yeah.
But out of that call, only a few is actually chosen.
Right.
To bring forth much fruit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, you know, I don't know what the fate of these people are going to be. You know, I would wish it that they would be saved.
Right.
But why won't they accept the truth when it's told to them?
I tell you, that's the reason why I asked yeah. that question, or that's the reason why I want you to expound
yeah.
on it, because I wanted to see if you had anything more other than what we had, because we know it's spiritual darkness. That we
yeah.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's some type of hook in the jaw that Satan has
yeah.
upon these people. Some type of spiritual bondage.
Right.
Whatever it may be.
Blinded.
Yeah.
But I tell you, it seems like we're all in definitely in harmony when we come to this, because every single one of us that's talking here today
yeah.
had to come out of those religions, come
yes.
out of these churches in order to get to the place where we are now.
Well, we had to stop our whoredom.
Yeah, we had to stop our whoredoms. We had to stop
right.
our lies.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I preached on that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I preached on idolatry yesterday and what God's going to do.
Well, the scripture says, let every man that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the ability to hear. And when He brings these things to our heart, when He brings truth to our ears, we're required to turn from that.
Yeah.
And we're required to go on and sacrifice all of that just to follow the truth, whatever we've been involved in.
Yes.
Because He takes us from faith to faith. But the thing of it is that, you know, and there's going to be some that's just going to be, I believe, just going to be merciful. Paul said in Corinthians chapter 15, he says that one star differs from another in glory. And I've even heard pastors say this one time. He said, look, I'm not trying to just make it in. He said, I want to be right down there on the front row carrying the banner, you know.
Amen.
And that's where every true godly man and woman really wants it. They want to get as close to their Lord as possible. Not
yes.
down the road someday, but
yeah.
right now.
Or
right today.
Or just squeak in, you know.
Exactly. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, those people think God grades on a curve.
Yeah.
You know? And that the less the people who aren't measuring up are going to be carried in by the ones who are. And that may not be true.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
I want to show you something here for a second, Pilgrim.
Okay.
Brother Doug Becker, he's on the phone now. He works at a local newspaper up here.
Yes,
okay. Sir. So he has the opportunity to try to, you know, speak to a few people.
All right.
Talk to them and just listen to his explanation of when he tried to talk to people about Jesus and then let him explain to where he's at right now.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that you will all get every place that you go out. You approach them and you try to talk to people about Jesus and the mind, because they're so filled with the things that they've learned and things they've been taught by these pagan churches they go to, you know, automatically there's a wall up, and no matter how you try, you bring them to the scriptures and try to show them right in the Word what it actually said. I mean, I had some the other day, and I constantly get attacked up there because I bring out some things that happened in the Roman Catholic Church, and of course, coming out of the Roman Catholic Church, I know what they stood for, and I understand what they teach. You know, they got this lullaby religion that says all you got to do is show up once a week and receive the sacraments and all the other garbage that they put with it. It's okay, but I put Matthew 23:9 one day, and I opened up the scripture and said, hey, look, read it for yourself. It says, and what are you all doing, you know? What's everybody doing out here? Even though they see it for themselves, it's right there in the Word of God. Now, mind you, these people call themselves Christians. It just can't be true, because the people that we go to, we just couldn't have been lied to. You know, we just can't have people lied to. People approached me. They were talking about Christmas trees the other day, and some woman walked back there, and she said, look, you know, any of y'all put up your Christmas trees yet? And I said, I'll tell you what. I says, I got a scripture for it. It's in Jeremiah 10. If I show you it, you consider it, all right, and see what you think about it. And so I did open it up. Of course, we all know what it says, that, you know, the heathen, the custom of the heathen, they're vain, and learn not the ways of the heathen, and, you know.
Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And took them through that, and still there's such an unbelief. It's almost like a look of shock, and it's like, well, it's got to be right, but it can't be, because I'm too intelligent to have been deceived, you know. Reason has replaced faith, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And it really is truly amazing. To me, it is amazing. Even the Word of God presented right to them, word for word, line for line, it still isn't good enough. I don't know how she motivates these people. I really don't.
Well, see, that's the thing. He said that one word that I was looking for in the midst of all that, brother, and that was the word when you go to the book of Hebrews, it's kind of hard to even read that book without even coming across that word. That word is called unbelief.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of that is exacerbated by pride that has been so deeply sown in this people, especially in this country. They just cannot accept the fact that they could have allowed themselves to be lied to, and that pride is working so deep in them that it literally binds them from receiving the truth and blinds them to where they can't even see it.
Yes.
I tell you what troubles me more than anything is And see, that's the reason why, especially when we get a chance to dialogue like this, I love bringing up the issues with the church, because with us, it's easy for us to see, even though we don't see everything that's going on, it's easy for us to see the hand of Satan and everything that's going on. And those that are without, that claim to be Christians, that continually deny the truth, they can't see the enemy.
Yeah, right.
But we see him. But then what troubles me more than anything is, it's easy for us, you know, to talk about the Illuminati, New World Order, Satan, and all that, which we're supposed to do, and we should do, because we should be exposing the enemy.
Right.
Blowing the trumpet,
yes, sir.
Sounding the alarm, and making sure we're giving out warning.
You bet.
Sure.
But then there's this other trumpet that's not blown so much, but I hear you blow it all the time on your radio program, Pilgrim, and that's blowing the trumpet of warning God's people to repent and turn from their wicked ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Because I'm telling you, the church is in disarray. It is in disorder.
Well, you got two. Well, there's two things that we do here at Remnant Radio. And I imagine it's the same too that you do over there too. Is first of all, you let people know what the problem is.
Yes, sir.
And then the second thing you do is offer the solution.
Solution,
that's right.
And you know, but people don't know what the problem is. You know,
yes,
these Christians, these millions out here, they have not a clue what the problems are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what to repent from. They don't know what to, you know, how to serve the Lord, because they don't know. They're in such darkness. They're serving the enemy instead of God. You know, they don't know. So we blow the alarm. We say, "Looky here! Look what you've been doing. You know,
right.
you think you've been serving the Lord, but here's what you've actually been doing. Now repent.
Mm.
You see, and only a few will hear that repent.
That's true.
Because they are so convinced that God isn't what they were already doing. You see."
Yep. Adolf Hitler said that if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth.
Yes.
And that is what's happened in this country. They have been sowed and lived and loved lies for so long that those lies are now God, they are now the truth, and they are the gospel. And that's what we're facing. That's what we're up against.
Yes, sir.
But you know that. But that's our job is twofold, like that, brother.
Yes, sir.
So you know, like you say, it involves both, because until people can see what to repent from, they won't repent.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
So that's what we do, and this is where all these Christian radio stations and TV stations and ministers behind the pulpits today have failed, because they're not sounding any alarms.
Nope.
They're just telling people that, just keep doing what you're doing. Just, you know, just do this and you're fine. But, you know, pay your taxes, you know,
mm-hmm.
work on your job and obey the speed limit and, you know, and do all these things. And
dumb dogs can't fart.
Right. And that's all you hear.
Amen.
But none of them are exposing Satan and his system.
No.
And how this whole thing, you see, is to be abhorred.
Amen.
We're not to glom on to anything in this life except the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
People want to do much
trouble lately with the Aryan Nation and the identity movement.
Are you asking if I've had trouble with them?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I actually haven't heard from them in a long time.
Long time, huh?
Yeah.
I got a little, I don't know, I don't even know what you call it, a dog barking, I guess, by email the other day, and talking about the Aryan Nation. The Aryan Nation, we got our eyes on you, Pastor Dow.
Is that right?
I was thinking, oh, Lord.
Oh, my. Was it signed by a man?
No, it ain't even signed. See, that's how the cowards do.
Yeah.
The wicked flee when no man pursue, but the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these people are cowards. They're not going to expose themselves. You know, they're not going to show their identity.
No, I mean, you still, I'm sure you know that, but you still got a lot of them that are still listening to this broadcast.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure anymore. There may be. But, you know, they might just monitor in just to see what's going on. Sometimes we only have one listener. And my wife tells me, well, that's the FBI agent. Or the SEC or somebody, you know. So I don't know. You know, I don't know who's listening. I have not a clue. You know, if they were supporters, if the people that listen were supporters or believers in what we're doing here, I would think that they would contact me.
Right.
Wouldn't you think so?
I would think so.
Well, nobody contacts me. So you tell me who they are. I don't know. I don't know if they're all spies. Maybe they're all spies. That doesn't make any difference because the truth is for them, too.
Right.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Sure is.
I don't care if they spy. It doesn't matter to me.
Amen.
It doesn't matter to me. I would wish that 1,000 FBI agents would be listening in right now.
Well,
maybe we get through to one of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, that's the way I feel about it. I don't care. Jesus wasn't too closed in his presentation. There were times when he was sort of hid from the masses, but for the most part, his sermons and the things he said was to all.
Yes.
All around him when he spoke.
Amen.
So
that was the reason he was manifested. The scripture says that for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And
right.
That's his business. Jesus' business is uncovering all these wicked, underhanded, dark, secret, shameful things that men are doing it and bringing them to light and judgment for everyone to see and to be able to say, yes, this is bad, or yay, this is good, you know?
Right.
Where everybody can make that decision.
And you see, what we do, right out in the open. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ and all of this stuff right out in the open. You see, this kind of stuff is what these hard to understand areas. These hard areas are done in secret. You see, in the secret societies.
Yeah.
They don't let these things be to the public because they know they'll be judged for it.
That's right.
But what we do, see, the way the Lord is, the way God is He does everything out in the open.
Oh, that's right.
Paul and
he exposes
all the secret parts.
Amen.
You see? And the reason for that is so that no man will have an excuse. That's
Amen.
The reason
Absolutely.
For it. No man
right.
will have an excuse.
Yeah, very good, brother. Hallelujah.
We're right out in the open with this, and we always will be.
Amen.
You see?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So if they want to judge us, well, just. These people that want to judge us, you just look at those who have hid these secrets from you all these years that have conspired upon you in secret.
Right. Yep.
We're out in the open. We're not hiding anything.
Nope.
Now, who do you want to judge? You can judge those who are out in the open and telling you the truth, or you can judge those who have conspired against you in secret. Now, which one do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Which one should make you more angry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see,
good.
you might be a little upset about hearing the truth. You see, because
right.
it doesn't meet what you've been told before. But shouldn't you rather be upset about those who have conspired against you in secret, who have plotted and planned against you, and against your family and against your whole family line?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You see, that's who you should be angry with.
Amen.
Not those who are speaking the truth out in the open.
Boy,
you may not agree with it. Okay. But we're not against you.
Right, right, brother.
Those people in secret are against you.
Yes, they are.
Those are the ones that are out to destroy you. We're not out to destroy anybody. We're out to bring people to the light.
Hallelujah.
We're out to save.
It's to see them saved, yes.
Amen.
And that's the difference.
That's right.
So you know, if you want to be upset, someone wants to be upset because they're being told something that, you know, that's hard, well... Don't get mad at us. Get mad at those who want to seek to destroy you. That's all. That's bottom line. That's all I can say.
Sure. Amen. You can't get much more honest than that.
Yep.
You know what I find in this area up here, Pilgrim?
Yeah.
I find that there are preachers that know the truth,
mm-hmm.
but they refuse to tell the people the truth.
Oh, sure, they know it.
To hold it in unrighteousness.
Now, there's two reasons for that.
What are they?
Well, one of them is what people always would like to say the reason is, and that's money.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
And I'm sure that is the truth in some cases.
Yes, sir.
However, the bigger reason, and what goes on most of the time, is because these people are actually part of secret societies, like Masons, like others, who are there as ministers behind the pulpit to purposely deceive the sheep. They are there on purpose.
Right.
They are plants. They are working for the other side all the time, proclaiming the name of Jesus.
Yep.
Now you say, well, how can that be? Well, I'm telling you that it is. Now, I'm not gonna give you a scripture behind that because it seems to be against the scripture. But I'm telling you, these people are working for the other side. It's provable.
Sure they are.
Sure.
Well, I give you plenty of scripture for that.
Okay, go ahead.
One of them is that Paul warned us that he told us that he said, now look here, folks, I want to tell you something Satan's ministers they would turn around and they would transform themselves.
Amen.
Okay.
As
angels of light. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing. And then the one that Brother Rich, go ahead, Brother Rich, on that one.
Well, he says that there's going to be men coming who will preach another gospel and another Jesus, and the Bible says that they are accursed, and that we should let them be accursed.
But then have certain men
crept in
that
unawares.
Have crept in unawares. Unaware, ungodly
yeah.
men.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That are meant to be condemned.
Yeah, those are good scriptures.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I know. In Paul and in Acts too, he said after he was departing, after his departure, grievous wolves are going to enter in.
Yep.
Who want to not even to spare the flock?
Not even. Amen. There you go, brother.
That's right.
Yeah, and they're going to speak perverse things so they can draw away disciples
after
their own self.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But what I was getting at earlier, though, brothers, is that these people are proclaiming Jesus Christ, confessing he rose again the third day, you know, and basically proclaiming all of the conditions by which we would deem would be a Christian. Okay, they're doing all these things, but yet still working for the other side.
That's, hey, Pilgrim, I called a guy not too long ago. Because I'm calling the task these preachers. And,
okay.
And the reason being, and I want y'all to listen to me real close.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because, you know, the Bible says that every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh,
yes,
is not of God.
Okay.
And I've been asking these preachers, I say, hey, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? And they'll say, I believe that he is a God. And I go, now, wait a minute, hold on. hold on, you devil. Hold on. See, and that's what's going on, because if you notice, a lot of people today, they will tell you, God bless you, God bless you, but they will never mention the name of Jesus, even in their prayers.
Wow.
They will never even close out there. And I've been noticing this going on in a lot of Baptist churches.
Oh, yeah, but they're bad.
Mean, they won't even mention his name.
No.
They will say, Lord, they will say God, but they would never, even in prayer, I've noticed this, and this is that spirit of Antichrist.
Yes, yes.
And I'm telling you, it's so subtle, too. It is subtle. I mean, amazingly subtle.
Oh, it's really
subtle.
That's
how the devil works.
I've been calling them and saying, hey, dude, come on, you talk to me about Jesus.
Amen.
I make them even, I corner them in the open.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, amen.
I don't like it talking to these preachers off on the side. I want to call them to task in front of their members.
Well, you did you hear us earlier talking about John Hagee and this Koofy thing?
What's going on?
Okay, well, do you understand? Do you know what the Koofy thing is or no?
No.
Okay, John Hagee he organized this coalition, this organization. Koofy, which stands for Christians United for Israel. Okay, now this is a big deal. This is no small thing. And they've had these international conferences all over now for the last year, and he's got like 400 member churches behind this.
Oh, mercy.
Oh, it's big, and I think it's growing all the time. And he gets world leaders in to speak at these conferences and you know, big names and stuff. all for the support of Israel, you see. Now, what he really means is Jews.
Exactly.
Okay, not Israel. What he really means, because what they believe is that the Jews are God's chosen people.
Oh, boy.
And that God is going to save these people regardless of Jesus Christ. Okay, and they come right out and say this. Okay?
Yeah.
And what has been done is the name of Jesus Christ has been disallowed. Okay? And I'm talking about, this is formal. This isn't just supposition. They've come right out and said this and commanded all the speakers, do not mention the name of Jesus Christ at this conference, for you will offend the Jews. Okay?
Oh, man.
And so what they, and they've come right out and said that it is not necessary for the Jews to accept Jesus Christ.
Mm.
That, in other words, God has a whole other plan of salvation. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, the Catholic Church changed their position on that. The last pope that died.
Okay.
Yeah, he turned around and he opened up that door. He told the whole world that the Jews, they don't need to go through Jesus Christ for salvation. They have their laws. They have
right.
Their
yeah, dispensational salvation.
And that, but you see, when they do that, that flushes the whole work of the cross right down the toilet.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And that's what these people have done. So when you're going to task, you see, with these preachers in town, most of them are of these kinds of opinions these days.
Well, what one thing John Hagee has done, if he has done this, as you say, he has counted the blood of the everlasting covenant where he was sanctified an unholy thing and done despite unto spirit of grace.
Yes, sir.
I got a
blaspheme the Holy Ghost.
I got a question to ask you guys. Have you heard the Promise Keepers?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a Masonic organization too.
A bunch of fairy tale faggots too.
Yes. Yeah, sure
do you run across these Christians who go to these Promise Keeper events?
No, we haven't run across any in some time since we left the Nashville area.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they were crawling. They were crawling with them down in Nashville.
Okay. Well, Promise Keepers is just part of this mainstream Christianity. In other words, they're not an offshoot of today's thinking. Okay. They are all part of this whole thing. This Rick Warren's purpose-driven church.
Yes, sir.
40 Days of Purpose. Kufi. You know, they're all pretty much going the same direction. Now, I want to read something to you that's just gonna blow you away.
Okay.
Not that it's probably gonna take you by surprise, but the fact that they're so open with it.
Okay.
Right from the Promise Keepers website, one of them, main page. Here is their theme. There is courage bound up in you. There is passion and fire tied up in you.
Uh-oh.
There is a warrior held captive in you. There is an eternal spirit held down in you. Unleash it. And that's their theme for 2006.
You know what that
Lord.
Is?
Mm.
They believe that this is, sounds like this this crazy I am God thing.
It's Gnosticism.
Yes, it is.
It's the Gnostic gospel. It's this I too can become God.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Same.
And that's exactly what it is. Did you hear the word of Jesus in any of that I just read to you?
Not one.
Hmm. Wow.
See,
they're going to unleash something all right inside of them.
Yeah. Demons are going to be coming right up out of their bottomless pit.
And yet this is Promise Keepers for you. What are they preaching? What are they preaching, folks? They're preaching the satanic gospel.
Preaching another gospel.
Do you know what I call this? And I've gone right on my website and I've given the same thing. These are satanic verses.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right on the front page of the Promise Keepers website. Satanic verses.
They come out of Satanist Bible.
Well, I don't know. I've never read the satanic Bible,
Spirit.
but that's exactly what it is.
Definitely satanic verses.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not of God, it's of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there you go. This is when you say you're taking preachers to task. I'm telling you that almost every preacher in this land that's in these 501c3 churches is all part of this crap.
Oh boy, I just got to talk about that too. 501c3.
Yeah. But I mean, what I'm saying is they dare not. You see, buck the system.
No,
they're bound by Caesar.
That's right. But but they're all preaching. They're all going the same direction. This Gnosticism. This humanistic gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You see that's going to ace Jesus Christ right out of anything. Won't be part of it. Oh, he'll be part of it as a great teacher.
It sounds like the same thing that the serpent said to Adam and Eve in the beginning.
Right.
You shall be as God.
You right. Bet. That was the satanic gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he didn't tell them they had to become a devil. He always leaves something out.
Boy, I tell you what, Fielding, boy, you sure do got the information, brother.
Well, the thing is we gather pieces of proof.
Yes, sir.
Sure. Where it's no longer our belief. It's no longer our opinion. Here it is. It's right in front of you. If you can't see it, then I can't make you see.
No.
Exactly. That's right.
But I'm giving you all of this evidence. I'm giving you all of this this stuff from their own words and their own lips. You judge it for yourself. And if you judge it righteous, well, then I feel sorry for you.
Well, see, here we are again. It takes people to have the spirit of truth in order to be able to hear.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit would then turn around and put a light bulb on in your head and send up a warning sign and say, hey, something's wrong, even if you don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But people have quenched the Holy Spirit now in this generation so much that very few of people even hearing his voice anymore.
Mm-hmm. You're telling the truth, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, them promise keepers, they done went from bad to worse.
Oh, it's yep. I could keep on this one, but you know, it's just part of it. It's just part of this thing.
Well, you know, the Promise Keepers logo used to be just was a Masonic initiation. They had the breath beard and the cable toe around the neck. And,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. One of their logos several few years back, and the blindfold and everything. It was just right there on the front.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And I think it's a man by the name of MacArthur.
McCarthy, yeah.
Who runs that. I'll bet if anybody were to do some research and get behind the scenes a little bit, I'll bet you he's either a 32nd or a 33rd degree Mason.
Yeah, that's usually...
Bet you. I challenge anybody to look into that a little further.
Well, it's amazing. You can take, say, something that looks so innocent like Boy Scouts. I mean, it looks completely innocent and free, and it's something that's good for the children and teaches boys to be men. But and actually, the foundation of the beginning of it, the guy that actually brought it into being, his whole idea was to take boys out there and show them how to camp and everything else. But having been out in that part of that organization in the past, I mean, one of the things you have to do right away, the children have to do, is they have to swear an oath to Aquila, which is the wolf, the head wolf. The wolf god. It's all based.
Really?
Yeah, serious. It's all in the handbook. And then as you progress, you have to swear another. Huh?
What era are you talking about? What years was this handbook that you're talking about written?
Oh, this is just recently. I mean, I got out of...
Yeah, but it didn't used to be that way, did it?
Yeah. I mean, it's... of course, I don't know if it... No, not used to be. In fact, when it came out, the man that organized it back, I believe it was an Englishman, if I remember history right. It was way back when, and he did it for orphan boys, and he would take them out, teach them how to camp and everything, but of course it turned into something corrupt, and the devil used it to something to, of course, blaspheme God.
Right.
And if you get one of their handbooks, which they have, as you go up in levels, of course they go Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, and then it keeps going and going. Each level that they pass on and go on, they have to recite an oath to whatever it is, the bear or whatever it may be, whatever animal it may be.
So,
it's all steeped in Indian lore, too. And, of course, you know, the Indians were loaded full of, they gave glory to all the different spirits of the land and the trees and the, whatever the case may be.
So they're doing the same thing that goes on in secret societies.
Yeah.
They're doing it with the kids.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing like the Catholic Church is doing. They indoctrinate them young.
Yeah.
So when they get older, they could, it wouldn't be no problem for them to go ahead and cross on over.
And you see, what they are is their organization set up to find quality people, you know, to bring into their societies to keep the great conspiracy going.
That's right.
That's what they are. I mean, that's what Masonry is. That's what a lot of these secret societies are. They're there to find quality people.
Right.
They bring them up level to level to level to see how they're doing, and when they see people that are going to be totally sold out to Satan, you know, and be yes men, and further the program, well, then they use them, you know, they take them and they might take them out of that society and put them in a further one, you see.
Sure.
Put them into Rosicrucianism or something, Golden Dawn, or you know, something even further.
Right.
See, so Boy Scouts is set up that way to catch kids early. That's what college fraternities are about too.
Yes, sir.
It's the same thing. The college fraternities are so that they can find the very top people. You see, it's a way to find them and capture them. You see, before they get out of their control.
Yes, sir.
That's what they do. That's what Skull and Bones was or is, and many others like it.
I mean, you even take a couple simple scriptures like Jesus said, of course, you know, not swearing, don't swear it at all, neither by heaven nor for its God's throne, and nor by the earth for its footstool. And, of course, the book of James talks about it, too. And every one of these things, that's something that everybody has to do in order to be part of the organization.
Yeah.
And so even if you had knowledge of these two scriptures alone, it should set up a flag. But the God of this world is blind in the minds of that are lost. Yes, sir.
You know, that's probably what Promise Keepers and some of these are too. They're there to find, to make you know those quality people that have been passed up somewhere along the line to get them to float to the top. You know, so that they can use them for something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had the secret societies come after me when I was young.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I did when I was in the military.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I used to have people trying all the time get me to join the Masons because, you know, that's what prompted me to start searching into it because I'm a man of color.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't let a man of color, not that I was seeking to get into any of them anyway.
Right.
But they wouldn't let a man of color join the White Lodge. So I learned that the Black Masons have their own lodge, which is called the Prince Hall.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, and then the white people. You see, if you're a Mexican, Indian, anything other than white, you can be a Mason, but you have to go over to the Black Lodges or what they call the Prince Hall Lodge.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
And do they have Prince Halls in everywhere?
Yeah. It's for the black people though.
Right, so wherever there's a black population,
exactly,
a significantly black population.
Right, because see, they wouldn't let. See, some of the people had went to task with this with some of the leaders a long time ago about trying to bring some of the. I think the history behind it was is that a black man wanted to become a Mason, and they wouldn't let him in, so they let him start his own lodge, and his name was Prince Hall.
Oh.
Yeah, and so now, and that's how you get him. So the white, you'll never, if you ever notice, take note of you, and if you see these Shriners around. You know, handing out flyers, getting donations, having searches and stuff. They have these little red caps on and stuff.
Right.
Take notice, you would never, ever, ever see a black Mason.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I never have. No.
Yeah.
Never have.
Never will. True. You never will. And see, that's because, and see, they have two, they have, once you get into them, you got two ways you can go. You can either go to Scottish Rite or you can go to York Rite.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But you'll never see any people of color in any of those secret societies, out in the forefront, because they got all these different types of names and stuff. They kind of like just throw them a little bone to make them feel like they're doing something.
Well, you know,
but they do work together, and they are being used. And,
sure,
but they're just, it's a separate entity.
Well, it, well, it's
separate
even
separate order.
It's even like this Christian Identity, and they even go further into the KKK and the Aryan Nations and all that. These people are all still part of the secret societies.
Sure.
And now they may seem to be at odds with the other secret societies, you know, and perhaps they are, but it's smoke and mirrors. It's set up to make people think that you know they can't be of the same organization, but they work to the same end. The ultimate goal is they work to the same end.
Yeah, all of them work for Lucifer.
Yeah, all of them work for Satan, yes.
Yeah, every one of them work for Satan.
Yeah, but they're all, almost all of them tie in one way or another to the Rosicrucians.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Pilgrim, could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Now, I've tried to do some study in the past on the Essenes. Now, this is just a gut thing. You know what I'm referring to. I'm talking about that.
Yeah, the Dead Sea Scrolls and all that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, from what little material, first of all, you can't hardly find much at all on these people.
No, it's been hidden from us.
It's very limited.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's been hidden.
We know that a lot of herbal, pharmacopoeia kind of stuff came down through them that and things like that, but I've had a hunch for a long time that these may have been the Parsi or the ones who originally may have started this whole Masonic structure that we're seeing today.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I believe the Essenes were mystery school. It was part
yes.
of the mystery school of their day.
They were mystics.
Yeah, they were mystics, and now they may have found the Isaiah scroll in there. They may have, but you see, the mystics—they use everything.
Exactly.
They use God's word.
Sure.
They're not separated from it. If you were to go to the Rosicrucian, the official Rosicrucian websites, you will find the words of Jesus in their writings. You will find scripture verses. You will find all of that.
Yes, sir.
But they're preaching a satanic gospel.
Oh, absolutely, and you are right about that.
So the Essenes, even though they had the Isaiah scrolls and different writings that seemed to make them tie in to the Hebrews, the Hebrew religion, were mystics of their day. I absolutely believe you're right. I think they were mystery school, and that is why we don't get the full story,
right?
Because they don't want to let it be known.
Okay.
Well, they have closely guarded that.
They've closely guarded it. Yes, they have. You know, only a few people know the whole story on that whole discovery about the Essenes.
Wow. Mm. Well, I tell you, it's like you hit dead ends everywhere when you're trying
yeah.
to do any research on this
yeah.
group of people.
Right. Now, I don't.
It's like they just up and vanished. And amen.
Well, they ain't yep. vanished. They still here.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're descended there. Hey, Pilgrim.
Yeah.
For the people that's going to be listening to this,
yeah.
go into if you don't mind for a brief moment and explain to them the Edomites.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'll tell you the truth, and I'm just going to say this so that. So that you don't think I'm some kind of expert on this, because I'm not. I am not positive, actually, what the full story is. I don't know. I've heard so much about this and that, and I know what you're getting at. What you're asking me is how that ties into the modern day Jews. I don't know. That's bottom line.
I tell you what, we'll talk about it sometime.
We have evidences of different kinds that
right.
that I have not reconciled, to tell you the truth, on this issue. We've got the Khazarian story, where 90% of the Jewish makeup of today is of Khazarian origin.
Right.
Now some take that Khazarian culture which is about 700. AD was when this happened, when the Khazars converted to Judaism, and that became the modern-day Jews, was from those people, which were around Russia there.
Right.
in the Khazarian region. Now, some people tie those Khazars right back to the Edomites.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be. Okay, some like to tie them into Canaanites.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cainites, I should say. Not Canaanites, but Cainites. Sons of Cain, okay? And that's going a whole other direction. When we get into this genealogy and genetic makeup of the cultures, we're really getting into a place where there's so much different and conflicting information that, you know, unless the Holy Spirit really tells us what's what, I don't know if we're ever going to know.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, I don't know. I just don't know. Now, I know by the Spirit.
Right.
Of what, how these people operate that
exactly.
call themselves Jews, I know what spirit they're of, and I, for that reason, when I run across one who's coming out with, for instance, Doc Marquis,
yeah,
I don't take it as gospel. I won't listen to these people because no matter how much they talk about Jesus. Because I know that the spirit of error is within them.
Right.
On a genetic level. Okay? Now, I know this is an area where nobody likes to go. I don't even like to go here.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, sir.
But I've seen it too much to turn my back on it. When you see how all of Hollywood is controlled by this same genetic makeup of people, all of media is controlled by them, the whole government is controlled by them. All the education, the medical, every institution of society in the world is controlled by the same genetic stock, whoever they are, then you know that this is your enemy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
Now, we can tie this back to the Edomites. We can tie it back to Cainites. We can tie it back to... Because I don't care where you go with it. It really, to me, doesn't matter. I mean, we do know that the Edomite stock was cursed by God. We know
right.
that Cain was cursed
yeah.
by God. Okay, so if we can tie them back to those seed lines, well, then we have an explanation. But to me, it's not necessary.
I
know the fruits of these people. They're all genetically of the same makeup, and we know their fruits. So when you see others of that genetic makeup that aren't necessarily part of the elite, do you trust them? Not me.
What?
I don't trust them.
They have the same characteristics.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And if you look at the spirit within them, it's the same kind of deceptive spirit.
Right.
Now we're doing some racial profiling here, as my wife says. And I suppose that we are, okay? Like I said, I don't like to go here, but I can't turn my back on it.
Right. Yes, sir.
You know, I just know for my own sake as who to trust and who not to trust, who to watch out for.
Yeah, I wanted to get just a little bit of that on record because
the
only reason why I wanted to get you to expound on it a little bit is because, you know, I wanted to use it as a tool to show people how ignorant that we are today.
Yeah.
Right? And you understand, and that God does have a men of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Here and now.
Yeah.
Here and I use it because there are a lot of people, you know, that they really believe that they're so spiritual. But when you start talking about some of the things that we've discussed on this program right here, you lost them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, I generally don't make the genetic issue.
Right.
I generally don't go there because of that reason. Because that's one thing right there that will lose people regardless of any other truth you have.
Right.
And the way I figured is if you can get people to come in and see start breaking through,
sure.
start peeling back the scales in people's eyes, then maybe you got a chance of talking to them about the deeper things like these racial issues.
Well, I can tell you right now, even when I post this up, I can tell you right now that I don't know anybody out there with the exception of the brethren that are here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody out there that I would even discuss any of these issues with.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with them hearing what we're talking about, if they even ask me a question, I'll tell them, you just stick with the basics right now.
I got a question to ask you.
Sure.
What do you think about the statement that one of our forefathers, one of our great forefathers said of this nation, about all men were created equal?
That's what he said.
That's in the writings.
Yes. I know that the Bible said that all nations were created of one blood.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Well, do you think that all men are created equal?
No.
Well, I don't either.
I don't think all men are created equal.
But that was a precept upon the founding of our country.
Yeah, I know. Right. I don't believe that.
But you see, that's how they get by with this one world government. This everybody's the same and everybody and we should make everybody equal. Uh-huh. You see, when everybody is not equal.
Come on, even if you just go in a natural sense.
Yeah.
You've got noblemen, you've got kings.
Right.
Yeah.
You're always going to have variations.
Yeah.
You've got people that are visually more handsome than others. You've got people that are generally brighter than others. There's really never been true equality by that standard or definition.
Well, and God does not deem all men equal. He never has.
See, what they're doing is they're trying to get everything, and they use these subliminal tactics or these things and stuff.
That's exactly
because they're trying to get the mindsets of men back to this Tower of Babel thing.
Yes, sir.
That's where it's already headed back to.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's why God's going to mess it up again for them.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Bound them again. Oh, yeah.
Well, this may be the last front, though, that will be fought. This may be the last time we do this. Like you said, like you quoted the scripture earlier, God will not strive forever with man. There will come a day when all striving will cease, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even in this day that we're living, we're seeing how God has just basically taken his hand off of man and let them to their own devices.
Yes, sir.
And that's what's going on in this age that we're in.
Isn't that
now, there's always a few, you see, where God will hold to himself, the remnant, but the rest of these people are left to their own devices.
Yes, sir.
And that's why I say I thank God for you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Likewise.
So, you know.
I really do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's a blessing to be able to meet someone and to know someone that thinks just like you do.
Yeah.
And you know you're not nuts.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, you at least have several brethren there with you. I don't have anybody here except my own family. So, you know, my own family, everyone in my family immediate family here thinks the same way. You know, we're all in one mind and one accord here.
Yeah, but as far as that natural family, they probably don't have too much to do with you. They deal with you from a distance.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That long handle spoke.
Yep, long hip.
Well, what I find is they don't even want to talk to me. You know, I would wish that people would confront me.
They won't do it.
And say, brother, you know, you're wrong.
Been
you know, I would love that people would come to me and say, you're wrong. Can I show you where you're? Please do. You know, please let's have a meeting. Let's have a Bible meeting. Let's talk these things out. Put everything on the table for consideration here. They would do that, but they won't.
No.
They're cowards. They just want to run from you.
Yeah.
They want to scatter like cockroaches, but yet call you
right.
Enemy. See, they don't want to confront you. Well, what happened? What happened with confronting the devil? If they believe that you're really of the devil, shouldn't they be confronting us?
Yeah, at least loving us enough to save our wretched soul from an eternal damnation.
Yeah.
Yes,
see,
sir.
You see, but they're cowards because, and I'll tell you why they're cowards. It's not that they're afraid of us; they're afraid of the truth.
Yes, exactly.
Amen.
They're actually afraid that in their confrontation that they're going to have to change.
Right, right.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what they're afraid of.
Yep.
So the only option is to run, and that's what they do every time. They run.
Boy. Right back to the original sin,
Yeah.
Got a prototype there. Amen.
So,
well, Malcolm, I tell you what, I know the brothers have. We've enjoyed this.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh, I have too, immensely.
I really want to add this, is that it's like you said earlier in the program, there's really not that many of us left.
No.
And it's a delight to be able to talk with a man who I know, because the Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God.
Right.
And it's just a blessing for me to be able to talk with someone who has a solid resolve that's at peace in their spirit, that has that basically knows what he's talking about and is willing to bring up, hey, you know, I don't know about this totally, so you know, that will explain his limitations rather than just going like he knows everything and just somebody who's just down to earth and I just
right.
I pray the Lord for you and bless the Lord for you, brother.
Well, praise God. I thank God he put us all together to I haven't met brethren like you anywhere else either, so you know it's the same way. You know,
I like the same way. You're elder than you know, you got a little bit more age than we do.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And here we often thought, he said, man, even the old men today, all of them are foolish.
Well, yes, they're fools, yeah.
Yes, sir.
No wisdom in them.
Exactly. See, and that's what I'm talking about. So when we see someone like that, we cling to them.
Yeah.
We cling to them.
Yeah, praise God.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm,
you know, and we're not bringing forth no flatteries either.
No, so, no, I know.
Stating fact.
No.
Yes,
well, I'm clinging to you guys too. I ain't letting you loose.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you who another I've come to appreciate is that other fellow that initially kind of had a little bit of a problem with there when I, and that's that Tim fellow, the Remnant's Hope guy.
Yeah,
Tim.
Yeah, and I don't know nothing about him really, but I feel like he's, you know, I feel like the recent events. I feel good about him. I feel good about, you know, how he approached it and kind of entered into a little humble spirit there. So whether or not he's with us all and the way we think and talk, I don't know. I don't know that much about him, but I believe I got hope for him.
Yeah, same here.
You see?
One thing for sure, time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. Yeah. And I'm going to consider him as a brother. And,
yes, sir.
I'm going to hold him right in there with us.
We do.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
So,
amen.
Praise God. Well, brothers, is that it? Have we done talked ourselves silly here?
I tell you what, I've enjoyed it, and I know the remnant here, they're really going to enjoy hearing this again and again, because we have our own little, you know, FM transmitter here on the land. It only goes out about a mile.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
It's good enough. It's better than trying to hook up extension cord.
Right, yeah, you do it for your own sake.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for your own little thing. Yeah, well, I still do it too. I still do that. I shouldn't say it because the FCC guys might be listening, but you know we do that.
Yeah,
to some degree, you know, it doesn't go out to the whole community anymore like it used to, but we still do some of that. I actually have a mobile transmitter. That when I turn it on, I can cover a whole town or a whole city. So, you know, wherever I am, and you know, if I'm out on the open highway, you know, I can
crank it up,
crank it on, and anyone traveling down the interstate, you know, that's what they're going to get.
Well, keep moving. It may be hard for them to collaborate on your position.
And what's really hilarious is, I've watched it several times. We've gone down the road. And I watched people all of a sudden fumbling with their radio knobs. It's because the signal's so powerful it just overrides anything that they've got on currently. It just comes right in on the radio.
I tell you what, the FCC and all this government intrusion into our business, it amazes me. Here it is, air is supposed to be free, but then they turn and regulate it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. Well, that's a subject for another day, brother.
Yeah,
I think I've had enough for one day.
There we go again.
I could go on for another 2 hours. Oh, boy.
Well, may the Lord Jesus bless you and your lovely spouse there, Pilgrim.
Well, thank you.
Amen.
And God bless you all.
You send her our love from all the people and all the saints here straightway.
Hallelujah. All right, then. Let's do it again.
Yes, sir.
Next week I'm going to be busy.
Okay.
But we can do it after that time. I'm looking for the day when, I'll tell you what. Now here's an idea. I won't go too long here, but here's an idea to ponder. Okay.
Okay.
Just think about this idea for a minute. My original vision for Remnant Radio Network. Well, actually, it wasn't even Remnant Radio. It's my vision for this micro-broadcasting for this modern-day communication is that there would be as cell groups, okay? In other words, we have what we have here. You would have a little radio station where you manufacture your own programs, do your thing.
Right.
There might be 100 of these across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us then stream on the Internet, okay? Everyone's got an Internet stream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now when I know that you guys are putting on your special show, I can tie it into ours. When we do something special, you tie it into yours, and with 100 people like this doing this, you see, we can fill up time slots with every hour a unique hour.
Well, that sounds good to me.
You see? And so think about this. Even if it's just us here in our two locations, you guys get your thing going over there. You know, we can tie in together and so forth and help each other out this way. And what we can do is like we can set a time a week where you guys come on your local thing there, stream to the Internet. We tie in with one telephone line, okay, and it goes out here too as well, you see,
right.
And anyone else that comes in on this end. And you multiply this, and you can actually have a dozen, two dozen, three dozen, 100 people online all interacting with one another at one time.
Exactly.
In other words, we can have a virtual church.
I know you got the know-how, so Sister Carol and I plan on making our trip coming on out there.
It's easy to do. It's just a matter of God putting people together to do it. That's all it is.
Amen.
Amen.
So, but that's been my vision for this for the last 2 years. As I can see this happening. I just haven't run across anyone that'll do it.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm here waiting, you know. And if you guys get on board, then we'll be all waiting together for more to come on board. So, here's the deal is we got to do it now before the Internet closes down on us.
You got that right.
Because it will someday.
Yes, it will.
So, you know, that's... But, you know, we're talking about phone bridges and doing it, you know, via telephone, too. So it could go separate from the Internet and still function this way. But the problem is it wouldn't be available worldwide to anyone who wants to listen in without the Internet. Without the Internet.
Right, right.
So that's...
But the majority of households nowadays, they have them.
Yeah, but I mean, if the Internet closes down, is what I'm saying.
Yes, this
could still survive in another form.
Right.
What I'm talking about. So anyway, okay, that's enough.
All right. Well,
I'm out of here.
Bless you.
Bless you.
All right. Bye bye.
Bless you, brothers. Peace.
Bye bye. Boy. Okay. What's normally? Oh, John Moore is normally at this time. The last half hour of John Moore. He's on for 2 hours from... He's been on for an hour and a half talking while we've been talking. But we will go ahead and put him on for the rest of his half hour. Okay. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time, probably in 2 weeks. We'll be doing this again.
Signs in the sun, stars, and moon. That's what that is. Signs in the